Drive Time Show on Toledo Sports Leader, 106.5 The Ticket.
Drill to right field. That ball is hit well. It's to the wall, and it is gone. Jamer Candelario has his first Tigers home run. He showed some pop in the minor leagues, and that's his first big league home run with the Tigers. Jamer gets one back.
This 106.5 The Ticket Sports Exclusive is driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik Jr. at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Throw does over the middle.
There you go.
Joe McQuinn, right side, to the house. Count it down with me, folks. 10-5, end zone. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Oh, that is big. How about 2-7 patrolling center field like a safety should?
Get ready. It's now Drive Time.
Barrett gets the snap, hands it to Weber. Weber sweeping left side of the Rutgers 45 to the 40, 35, 30, down the sideline. Weber to the 20, to the 10, to the 5, and into the end zone goes Mike Weber with a 46-yard touchdown run to increase Ohio State's lead by six more.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Now Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots it. Score! Curry blocks the shot, and Gretzky in 3-0. Los Angeles. Wayne Gretzky gets the goal.
Mike Miller is out there watching.
On its way, here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it. DeMarco, 15 feet, 4 inches, center of the cup, President's Cup to the United States.
All right, everybody, how are you? Another edition of Drive Time coming to you tonight from the Superstore in Monroe. Halloween specials continue. Come on up and see the low payment king. Glad to have you on board, everybody. Got a good show lined up tonight. By the way, tomorrow night we'll be in the campus of the University of Toledo, presented by Ferdo's Restaurant and the bookstore there. Got a University of Toledo preview show. Rockets in a big one Thursday night against Northern Illinois. Bruce Gradkowski, former Rocket quarterback, former NFL quarterback, will join us at 5:15 tomorrow night. And also Tom Luganville, ESPNU television commentator, will join us tomorrow night at 5:35. Going to switch gears real quick here. Of course, at 5:15 tonight, Rod Beard will join us. He is the beat writer, of course, for the Detroit News, covering the Pistons. He is in Los Angeles. I'm going to say this right now. You don't get to say it very often. The Eastern Conference leading Detroit Pistons, 5-2. They take on the Lakers tonight, and big wins over both the Clippers and Golden State. So things going very well for the Pistons. We'll talk Pistons at 5:15. I mentioned my guest tomorrow night, again brought to you by Ferdo's Restaurant. We'll be at the University of Toledo Bookstore tomorrow night. Tonight we're going to have Matt Markey on only because, well, we haven't talked to Matt, I don't think, in 3 weeks. So we're going to have Matt Markey on tonight. He is the outdoor editor for the Toledo Blade. Just a couple of notes, everybody. Justin Verlander tonight in what could be the biggest game of his career, of course. He'll be in Los Angeles pitching for the Houston Astros and a chance to win a World Series tonight for Houston. And listen, Tiger fans, I know I'm one of them, and I'll be rooting for Justin Verlander tonight and the Houston Astros to finish off the Los Angeles Dodgers. Compelling, compelling stuff. And listen, you're going to appreciate again tonight what Detroit Tiger fans had for many, many years at Comerica Park and wearing that old English D, number 35. Justin Verlander tonight for Houston to win it all in Los Angeles should be a compelling game. Also, NFL trade deadline, just a couple of things. Of course, Jimmy Garoppolo going on to the San Francisco 49ers, and I thought Bill Belichick's statements were basically it. You cannot sustain two veteran quarterbacks like that, that I think from a financial standpoint. So Brian Hoyer goes over there to New England. Garoppolo, of course, onto the San Francisco 49ers. Dismal situation there. Good luck with that offensive line. Compelling. Listen, National Football League trade deadline, really one of the least compelling days of the year when it comes to trade deadlines with the four major sports. Not a lot went on. Kelvin Benjamin, I guess, going to the Bills from Carolina was one of the big ones. A few more, but nothing really, I don't think, earth-shattering there. Also wanted to touch on tonight as well, the college football rankings tonight at 7 o'clock. Let's see how they match up with the AP poll as well. So a lot of good things. The AP, of course, had Alabama 1, Georgia 2, Ohio State 3, Wisconsin number 4. We'll see how the rankings match up. First ranking tonight at 7 o'clock, by the way. Hats off, too, to Whitmer, St. John's, Anthony Wayne, Northview, Central, Wasion, Eastwood, Archbold, Otsego, Genoa, Liberty, Benton, Gibsonburg, Macomb, and Leipzig. They are in the high school playoffs in Ohio. I'll touch on the Michigan teams in tomorrow night in our University of Toledo preview show from the bookstore on the campus of the University of Toledo. But again, Rod Baird from Los Angeles, Matt Markey from, well, the Bowling Green area tonight. Again, talking a little Pistons basketball. Game 6 tonight, World Series in Los Angeles, right around the corner. Rod Baird, he's out in La La Land. This is Drive Time, driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. We're at the Superstore. Halloween specials, everybody. $158 a month, 36 months for a 2017 Dodge Ram 1500 Express Crew Cab 4x4. All right, Pistons basketball right around the corner. They're 5-2. They lead the East. We'll be back.
I was looking in the lab late.
Talking local sports. It's Drive Time on Toledo's sports leader, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Monroe Superstore. Hats off to Jim Cushlin, our producer. A little monster bash for you here on Halloween. Glad to have you on board, everybody. Matt Markey coming up at 5:35 tonight. Rod Baird standing by. We will have him in just a second, but the Detroit Pistons off to a 5-2 mark. Been a long time since they won back-to-back games. Of course, the Clippers and Golden State, so big wins there in Los Angeles tonight to take on the Los Angeles Lakers. Stan Van Gundy and his team, well, good start. They lead the Eastern Conference. And, again, we should have Rod Baird on the phone here in just a matter of moments. My name is Mike Miller. Reminding you again that tomorrow night, everybody, we'll be out on the campus of the University of Toledo and see if the Rockets can kind of get off the snide against Northern Illinois University. How many years now has it been the Rockets start great, wonderful record, a lot of times make their way into the top 25 of the nation, only to be derailed by the Northern Illinois University Huskies? That'll be the focus of our show tomorrow night from the University of Toledo campus. Special thanks to Paul Helngren, Associate Athletic Director Communications, lined up some great guests for us tomorrow as the Rockets play a Thursday night nationally televised game against Northern Illinois. Joining us now from Los Angeles, beat writer, Detroit News, travels with the Pistons, contributor to this show, Rod Baird. Hello, Rod. How are you?
Hey, Mike. How's it going? Long time, no talk.
Yeah, thanks a lot. From sunny Los Angeles, as soon as we get a little bit of cold and cool winter-like weather here in Halloween in Michigan and Ohio. Hey, the headline today was first place Eastern Conference Detroit Pistons. I don't say that very often. You don't type that into your stories very often, but, hey, congratulations, 5-2 start for the Pistons.
Yeah, I mean, it's the way that they started this season has been a complete turnaround from what we've seen in the past couple of years, where they're sharing the ball. Drummond looks to be a little bit more mature and composed in the way that he's doing stuff, and it's just, it's refreshing to see that they're a team that can come into the Oracle Arena and get a win against Golden State, where they hadn't won since 2008, 2009, and to be able to go to Staples and beat the Clippers. Again, they hadn't beaten one there in 7 years, so just good to see that they're starting to get some quality wins and they're stacking those up.
You know, I guess the other side of this, and listen, if you travel with a professional team in the best league in the world, and I had a chance to do that, the real challenge for Stan Van Gundy now is, hey, let's get greedy here. We've taken 2 out of 2. Again, as you mentioned, the Clippers and Golden State. You have the Lakers tonight. Don't take your foot off the pedal. Let's really make this a tremendous, tremendous trip.
Yeah, and I think that's the challenge now, is to make a real statement by not letting down. And Stanley Johnson made the good point. Hey, it doesn't help anything if you beat the Warriors or you beat the Clippers and then you lose to the Lakers, then, I mean, you're kind of one and one. The good games and the things that are supposed to make the statements around the league, if you go in and you lose a game that you shouldn't lose, you lose a lot of that traction and momentum that you built up. And they've talked about it. They've tried not to be very haughty about it. They've been very humble and just tried to, hey, we're taking one game at a time. We thought we had a good game against the Clippers. Now it's going to be, can we turn this around on a back-to-back and do it against Golden State, which they were able to do. I mean, give them full credit, full marks for being able to soldier that in. I think the stat was 2-45 teams on the second night of a back-to-back playing against Golden State, and the Pistons are now one of those teams making a three. There's a lot of good stuff to take from this road trip already. And I said, going back to the Philly game, if they had won three of the next five games, then they'd really make a serious statement that they were a team that you needed to watch. And they've already won three of those four, and now they can really make another exclamation point if they get the fifth one tonight against the Lakers.
Rod Beard joins us on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Vito's Pizza, ingredients you can trust. Through tonight, everybody, large barbecue chicken pizza, $11, no coupon needed. This is Drive Time, driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry all had big nights against the Pistons. You look at the box score, they all had around 25-plus, and you go, wow, those three do that, you're in trouble. Wasn't the case.
No, that wasn't the case. And what Stan Van Gundy said today was that the thing with Golden State is if your starters can stay with their starters, then you have a good shot to be able to win that game. Those three combined for 85. The Pistons had some good games, too. They got 23 from Avery Bradley, 22 from Reggie Jackson, and 16 and 15 from Stanley Johnson, Tobias Harris. I mean, so they can do it in a different way. And the Pistons seem to be on this mode of they're not going to have superstars, very similar to the going-to-work Pistons, that they're just going to do it as a group.
Again, talking to Rod Beard from Los Angeles as the Pistons take on the Lakers tonight. Again, you're tuned to Drive Time, everybody. Touch on the individuals, you'll say, and you just talked about going to work, getting the lunch pail, doing the right things, doing the small things right, avoiding turnovers. Touch on Reggie Jackson, Tobias Harris. You mentioned Avery Bradley, of course, and Reggie Bullock. Andre Drummond seems to be going in the right direction. But everybody, even the guys coming off the bench, contributions from everybody involved.
Yeah, and Anthony Tolliver has been another guy who's been a big surprise, and it's not necessarily from the offensive end. He just comes in and plays good defense, and that's the guy that they put on Kristaps Porzingis, who's 7'3", and Tolliver goes about 6'8", but they put him on Porzingis, and he did a really nice job. And the same thing happened the other day, that they put him on Blake Griffin, and he's a guy who is a veteran. He has that savvy, but he's also got the muscle to be able to stay with some of the bigger guys, and he knows how to play them, having been in the league so long. And that's a challenge for guys like Stanley Johnson and Henry Ellenson, who are a little bit younger, but they have that muscular build. So you would think it would go the other way, but the vet came through with some good defensive play for them and during this streak of games that they've won. So the bench looks to be one of the best reserve groups in the league, and that's shocking when you can say something like that, because there were a lot of folks who said, hey, who are these guys? We can't identify any of these guys, but at least for now, they've been productive and they've answered the call when they've needed production from them.
No question about it. What a great plus that would be for Stan Van Gundy's team, the Pistons. Hey, Milwaukee and Sacramento coming into Little Caesars Arena on the weekend, and Milwaukee's playing very well. So you go out on the road, you do good things. Fingers crossed for the game tonight against the Lakers. Then back home in your new home, Little Caesars Arena, with back-to-back test.
Oh, absolutely. And that's going to be one of the big tests is how they play coming off the road. And there's been so much talk about Little Caesars Arena and the attendance there. If they don't get a little bump in that attendance number when they play Milwaukee, then, yeah, you got to start questioning some things about the fan base and everything else that's going on. What's it going to take to support a team if you beat Golden State and the Clippers and you don't have fans who want to come out and see a little bit more of what that is? Then, I mean, what are you fanatical about? But the fan base has been like that for years. It's very much, what have you done for me lately? Let me see some wins. Let me see some indication that this is true and this is real. And through seven games, the Pistons already have shown that, again, if they can get the win tonight, they'll make a really big statement about how far they've come from a maturity standpoint. I don't think very many people doubted the talent. It's been more the maturity and how do they handle the adversity when they get it. And so far this season, they've handled it really well.
Rod Baird joins us on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Rod, what will the Pistons see tonight from the Lakers?
Well, they'll see a young team that's really trying to find themselves as well. We know a lot about Lonzo Ball and what he's done in his first six games. He's posted close to a triple-double in just his second game. The scoring isn't there just yet, but they're going to take some time to really normalize and figure out how they all have to play. I mean, we know about Julius Randle. We know about Kyle Kuzma, the guy from Flint, and what he's done. So it's just a young team that's trying to find itself, figuring out how they have to play. And in the Western Conference, that's not a good thing at all. You're going to have to really put stuff together really quickly if you're going to look to contend in the West.
Hey, Rod, before I let you go, go through the league, and I don't mean doing this in depth, but any one or two stories that in the National Basketball Association right now, Pistons certainly a part of the big headline stories with their 5-2 start. Again, seven games out of a regular season schedule of 82. Anything going on in the league right now that you're kind of raising an eyebrow to going, wow, we didn't expect this?
Yeah, I think people are freaking out about the Warriors start. With a couple of losses, and Cleveland certainly as well. I mean, those are teams you don't have to worry about until you get to March and April, and they start worrying about seeding and home court advantage. None of this stuff doesn't matter at the beginning of the year. All of that stuff will fall into place. The Magic have done a really good job, too, of getting out the gates hot. Memphis has a couple of good wins over Houston, at Houston and then at home against Houston. So they're making a really good story for the early part of the season, but you can't really start making these hard and fast observations and having it carry any weight until you get about 15 or 20 games in and you start to see some bigger trends that the numbers lean toward.
Well, Rod Beard joins us from Los Angeles, and I'd be remiss if I didn't ask him this. Also going on in Los Angeles tonight, of course, Game 6 of the World Series, and a guy by the name of Justin Verlander, somebody you covered many a night down at Comerica Park in Detroit. I'm guessing there's going to be more than a few monitors and televisions at the Staples Center tonight in Los Angeles while folks are watching or writing about basketball that will also have a close eye on Game 6 of the World Series tonight in L.A.
Yeah, and that's why not too many people are worried about the Clippers or the Lakers at this point, because the Dodgers are the Rays. They're everything that's going on. And looking down Figueroa and anywhere downtown, you can see folks that are supporting the Dodgers. They got their Dodgers gear on. And oddly enough, the Astros are staying in the same hotel that we're in. And JV walked down through the lobby, went and got him a cup of Starbucks. And one of the young fans, a teenager, asked him for an autograph. And Justin politely declined, and that's kind of his rule. On his days that he pitches, he's locked in, and you're not going to be able to get an autograph or anything else. But some other folks said he took pictures in that Starbucks. And but again, he's in his routine. He's locked into what he's doing. I think he's going to have a spectacular night, and this could be the culmination of his career, capping his career with that World Series championship. So we'll see how all that works out.
Well, we will, and, you know, you covered him as well. I mean, the thing that stands out about me, even at his age, what a great career he's had. All of a sudden, in big spots, we saw it against Oakland on the road. He seems to find another gear when the spotlight is on. Touching that before you go, Rod, if you could.
Yeah, it's the pitching now, and since he's joined the Astros, you got to credit the Astros for figuring out, hey, we've got the talent right now. We're going to make the trade for Verlander. And since he's gotten there, he's been that extra gear for them, a guy who absolutely doesn't back down from the spotlight and the limelight. And folks in Detroit and in the surrounding areas know that already. That's nothing new for us. But for Houston, a team that needed that, they needed the guy to come in and to be that alpha dog and to be the guy that they could all look up to. JV is absolutely that. So I know a lot of Tigers fans are disappointed that he's not there to do it for the Tigers, but they're living vicariously through the Astros right now. And if they happen to win that, Tigers fans will be just as happy that Verlander was finally able to get his ring.
Well, I'm one of those folks. I'm pulling hard for him tonight. Rod, thanks a lot for both the Pistons update and the Justin Verlander update in the same hotel you're at. And you saw him at Starbucks today, which is an unbelievable thing. We'll be watching JV tonight. Thanks for coming on, as always.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you, Mike.
That's Rod Beard, well, from the same hotel where the Astros are staying. How's that? And ran into Justin Verlander this morning at Starbucks in Los Angeles. Game 6 tonight. We'll have it right here on ESPN 106.5. The ticket. TAS Electronics update right around the corner. Four-star
window tint professionally installed in your vehicle for $149 a month. Back with more. Marky around the corner. Update, sports, weather, traffic, as always, brought to you by SuperFitnessToledo.com. My name's Mike Miller. This show driven by the Superstore and the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik.
The cure for annoying traffic jams. It's the Drive Time Show on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's your host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, hats off to our producer and fill-in host, Jim Cushland. Really in the Halloween spirit. Good job, Jim, as always. Jim, the producer tonight. Speaking of Halloween specials continue here at the Monroe Superstore. Visit MonroeSuperstore.com. How about this one? Four leases, your choice, $188 a month. Laredo 4x4, that's a 2017 Jeep Grand Cherokee. The all-new 2018 Jeep Compass Trailhawk. The 2017 Chrysler 300S, what a popular vehicle that is. The 2017 Dodge Journey GT, all $188 a month, 36-month lease. Come on up to the Superstore. Halloween specials continue, everybody. Glad to have you on board. Rod Beard joined us from Los Angeles. Did a little report. Same hotel as Justin Verlander. He ran into Justin today. He's out there covering the Pistons. They're off to a... Well, I don't want to say surprising. Yeah, it is surprising. A 5-2 start. Really surprising. A big win in Golden State the other night, beating the likes of Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant, and Steph Curry. So basketball, baseball in the first portion. And a gentleman that normally joins us, of course, on the Wednesday nights, but I told you about that special tomorrow night from Ferdo's Restaurant in the University of Toledo Bookstore to preview the Northern Illinois game and the University of Toledo game. We move Matt Markey, Toledo Blade sports editor, to tonight at 5:35. Hello, Matt. How are you?
Mike, I'm doing fine. How are you tonight?
Very good. Thanks for taking the time, and thanks for the schedule switch. We appreciate that. I want to remind everybody that Matt Markey's appearance is brought to you by the folks at Jan's Netcraft Fishing Tackle. Fishing is their passion. Expert advice. Always free. Visit Netcraft on Briarfield Boulevard in Maumee for everything you need to fish for bass, walleye, and anything else that swims. You know, I read your story above the fold today, and I started crossing off some of the national parks that I've been to. Saw the big ones, Yellowstone, Grand Canyon, Yosemite, Sequoia, and Kings Canyon. Of course, all of a sudden, folks driving through the gates, the way it looks, might be paying double, if not more.
Yeah, that's the proposal that's out there, and I hope that during the comment period they get a fairly large negative feedback on that, so they kind of rethink about how you do this. I resisted on a couple different levels. Number one, as I stated, I don't want them to price, you know, people out of the parks. I think the parks are something that everyone should experience. Everyone should be able to visit them and enjoy them. And on the second level, it just seems like if there's, you know, hundreds of millions or a couple $1 billion in a backlog of maintenance and repairs and all, you know, somebody made the decision to put those things off. And I just don't think that the public should be taxed again to make up for some level of incompetence in government, whatever it is. So I'm open to suggestions. I know I agree that the parks need to be preserved, and you know, this maintenance and upkeep needs to take place. Certainly, I understand that. I'm open to other options than sticking it to the public once again. So if it's, you know, these huge fines that the EPA always collects in the hundreds of millions of dollars, I wouldn't mind seeing that money earmarked strictly for national parks. And if, you know, we can go back to the way things were, you know, decades ago, if they need a big cleanup or work done, you know, why not take some of these guys that are sitting around in the county jail? We're paying for their food, we're paying for their housing and their medical care. Why not have them go out and do some of the work? You know, let's be creative about this instead of just automatically going to the public and saying, well, you know, we're going to double or triple the price because we haven't managed this properly. So I hope we come up with another solution, Mike.
No, I do too. And listen, you're preaching to the choir, not only with the national park situation, but you know, just about everything. Very, you know, you wonder why when people are allotted funds to do certain things that 5-6 years later they're asking for another increase or more, and you can't manage your money like that. I can't. You don't write the check. If you do write the check, you want to get it done right the first time so you're not worrying about it down the road, and all of a sudden one of the proper things, infrastructure, not only with the parks but with everything else, always seems to be the target for a lot of increased funds and increased taxes and additional fees. I mean, you've probably been to these parks, well, I don't know for sure, after I've been there, and any observations on what a kind of shape they are in? I'm sure it's legitimate. I get it, but the last time I've been to all the ones I just mentioned, they did not seem like they... Now, listen, there's a lot of hidden things there, you know, water lines and so on and so forth, I'm probably not familiar with, but tell me your observations on how bad a shape they're in.
Well, I didn't think they were in bad shape. I've been to Sequoia, Yellowstone, Arches, Grand Canyon, Zion, a number of them, you know, within the last, probably, you know, 15 years or so. They didn't seem that bad. I mean, certainly there are things that could be, you know, cleaned up a little bit. I like to see them look a little neater and so on. And there, you know, there was a fire, you know, fire grid here and there that needed repaired, and a picnic table and so on. But I didn't see them, you know, falling apart at the seams. But I guess I go back to the, you know, the basic premise that if I got a hole in my roof, you know, I'm going to patch it. I'm not going to wait and then come screaming to somebody, hey, you got to help me. You know, it's raining inside my house. You know, you take care of it before it becomes a big problem and you need a whole bunch of money. And I think somewhere along the line, they kind of lost, you know, track of these things, and somebody made the decision to just put them off. So I think there's, you know, our national parks are incredibly popular. You know, the numbers of visitors are staggering, but I think that's a good thing. Maybe we need to look at ways to control the traffic a little bit more. I know in Denali, in Alaska, you know, you don't drive through the park. You see the park, you know, on tour buses and all, so they kind of limit the impact that way. You know, just we need to look at creative ways to manage the parks and also to fund the repairs that they need instead of just, you know, jacking up the price when you come in the gate and thinking that solves everything. I'm just not in favor of that solution at all.
Again, Matt Markey joins us here normally on Wednesdays, joins us tonight on Tuesday. Our pregame special tomorrow night from the campus of the University of Toledo, Drive Time, driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. Interesting things going up near Alpena there, and talking about some of the hunts years and years and years ago, whether it be for caribou and, you know, hunting blinds and drive lanes to herd caribou into certain areas, and all of a sudden these things were covered up as the elevation and the depth of water, of course, changes over, you know, thousands and thousands of years. And a few folks that are in that field have come up with some pretty interesting findings.
They have. It's just I love the history and the archaeology side of it, and then certainly the, you know, what they've been able to learn about these prehistoric hunters is fascinating. You think about, you know, 9 or 10,000 years ago, there were groups of people out there on that land bridge, and they were actively hunting caribou, you know, to feed their families and to use the hides, and they used the, you know, the antlers and the bones and everything for made tools and all. You know, it's just, and this all took place in what's now, you know, over 100 feet deep in water there in Lake Huron. So it tells us something about the ancient peoples that lived in that area right after the glaciers retreated. And it also tells us something, you know, about the climate and how, you know, it does change with forces that are way, way beyond our control. Because at that point, that land bridge extended all the way across Lake Huron, from what is now Michigan to what is now Ontario, and the level of the Great Lakes was several hundred feet lower than it is now. And then at some point, things changed again. Those lakes filled up to closer to their present level, and the climate certainly modified, because at that time it was almost a tundra or subarctic type climate there. It's just, you know, you wouldn't have caribou there unless that was the climate. So a fascinating study, and one of the most interesting things, Mike, that the head of the exploratory team told me is that each year when they go down during the summer and do all their research and shoot all this video, and then they go back and spend the winter digesting it all, they come back with more questions than answers. There's just more to look at, more to try to figure out, and they just, you know, they want to continue this project as long as they can and try to piece together just what took place, you know, who were these people, you know, looking for maybe spearheads or other artifacts that might be left on the bottom of the lake there. But just a fascinating piece of history, you know, and the connection to hunting certainly interested me, but I think a great historical lesson too.
Hey, give me a little, you know, I think I've told you this before in this show, as Matt Markey joins us here on Drive Time, Toledo Blade Outdoor Editor. His stories, of course, are on Friday, Sunday, and Tuesday. Again, Matt joins us here on Drive Time. I'm looking at a map. I'm a map guy. My favorite subject in school by far, I wasn't even close, was geography. Are you talking that area in Alpena, you know, almost went over there towards Owen Sound, at that portion of Ontario across the entire lake?
Yes, across the entire lake. And this ridge is about probably 35 miles southeast of where Alpena is located. So you're looking, you know, out into the lake a little bit southeast, and that ridge ran all the way across the lake. So there would have been two separate basins of the lake at that point, one to the north of that ridge, one to the south of that ridge. But it was actually a way to cross from what is now Ontario to what is now Michigan.
Wow, unbelievable. I was on that Route 21 on Sunday, very familiar with that area in Ontario as well. Again, talking to Matt Markey, Toledo Blade Outdoor Editor. Hey, I liked your take on this, nature's undertakers, of course, and we're talking about roadkill, and all of a sudden the foxes, the coyotes, the raccoons, the possums, and insects. We've talked about nature's work and kind of the scale of things when it comes to wildlife, and I guess that's just another chapter.
It is, and nature does a very good job of cleaning up things. You don't actually need someone to go out and bury these things, because there's a real kind of orchestrated method that takes place. You know, when something dies or something's hit by a car and, you know, dies along the roadside, it's almost like they come in, you know, in certain shifts, because there are certain animals that are the first there, the scavenger types, and then there are other ones that come kind of in later waves and, you know, work on the carcass some more, and then the insects kind of finish it off, and eventually, you know, what's left kind of disintegrates and works as a nutrient back into the soil. And so, you know, once that body is completely gone back into the soil, it will nurture, you know, whatever grows there, and then that grass or, you know, whatever we see growing there will actually feed, you know, other animals as they come along. So it's a pretty interesting cycle. You know, it's a little messy and sometimes a little bit stinky when it's taking place, but nature has a way of cleaning up those things, and there are certain creatures out there in the animal world, Mike, that's their job, and you know, they all seem to know when to show up and how to perform it, because I've seen this numerous places where there'll be a carcass of an animal that's hit, and then a week later it looks a certain way, and 2 weeks later, and a month later, and 3 months later, there's no sign. And so it's a pretty interesting little tidbit of science. I thought it was a good match with Halloween to run that this past Sunday, and nature has a good way of cleaning things up.
You know what? Bright and early this morning, made my way out to the mailbox. This is probably about 6 o'clock in the morning, to pick up my copy, the Toledo Blade, and read your story. And tons of turkey buzzards flying high above our area, and I just kind of wondered what was, you know, really in the area, those folks and those birds serving the same purpose as well. Finally, your story on Friday about Hocking Hills. I'm looking out the window here at the superstore and looking at some of the foliage on the trees around here. Warm weather, things haven't started to change yet, but, you know, that southeastern portion of Ohio, a real, real gem when it comes to fall colors.
It is, because you get a real mix of the different hardwoods. So you've got all the bright yellows and the crimsons and some with a little bit of purple in them and orange and all. And then you've got the hemlocks and the other conifers that maintain that kind of bright green. So it really sets it off, I guess. The colors, you know, look a little bit more brilliant with those little splashes of green in between. And Hocking Hills has always been one of my favorite places to see the fall colors, and it's just such a dramatic display there. Now, there's a lot of great places to see them. I love the area around Hartwick Pines up near Grayling in Michigan. Certainly saw some beautiful fall colors in the UP last year in September, late September when I was there. So there's plenty of shows everywhere, but Hocking Hills is one of the best ones you'll find in Ohio.
What are you working on, Matt, this week? We'll be reading as always.
Well, there's I got a deer hunting story from Friday. A young hunter down in St. Clairsville took an absolute trophy deer that he'd been watching and pursuing for 3 years. And then for Sunday, one of our Ohio artists finished third in the national duck stamp competition, and she's a former winner of the junior duck stamp competition. So I interviewed her and got some pictures of her work, so that'll be coming up on Sunday.
Good stuff, Matt. Thanks for taking the time. We'll talk next week. Appreciate it. And as always, enjoy our conversation.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
Matt Markey, Toledo Blade Outdoor Editor. My name's Mike Miller, coming to you for the Superstore. Jim Cushlin back at the studios. We're going to take a timeout, go back to Jim, see what's on the agenda tonight on ESPN 106.5, The Ticket. Tomorrow, football show from the campus of the University of Toledo, brought to you by Ferdo's Restaurant. We'll be at the University of Toledo bookstore. Former Rocket and NFL quarterback Bruce Gradkowski will join us tomorrow, along with Tom Luganville. He'll be doing the color for ESPNU. Back to close it out after this.
It's Drive Time on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Superstore. We've been talking about it. Just another reminder right here at the Superstore, Monday, November the 13th. Murray Howe will be here. I've told people in the past, my all-time favorite athlete, number 9, Gordie Howe. Dr. Murray Howe, of course, practices here in the Toledo area. He'll be at the Superstore again here on November the 13th. Got a book out, of course, 9 Lessons I Learned from My Father. And we'll see you that night. More details coming as well. So 5:30 to 7:30 that night. We've met Murray. We've had him on. I think the last time I had Murray on was when, I think, one of the great decisions. We talked, Matt Markey was talking about government decisions. I touch on it every now and then. Easy targets, I get that. But when they said they were going to name that new bridge that's being built from Michigan into the Windsor area, the Gordie Howe Bridge, I was all hands on deck for that decision. Never a better ambassador any field of life, number 9, Gordie Howe. Jim, real quick, what's coming up tonight? I know we got the ball game.
Well, first we have Buckeye Roundtable, because we had a little change in schedule yesterday. The high school football forum, instead of the usual Tuesday, was on Monday. So Buckeye Roundtable here in a few minutes until 8 o'clock. That leads you right into first pitch of Game 6 of the World Series right here on The Ticket. And then, of course, Maction play today. Bowling Green's at Kent State. 7 o'clock coverage time for the 8 o'clock kick. That's over on Talk Radio 100.7.
Good stuff, Jim. A nice spirit, too, with the Halloween music. The Addams Family, one of my all-time favorite television shows. We'll do it tomorrow. Brought to you by Ferdo's Restaurant. We'll be at the University of Toledo Bookstore. Bruce Gradkowski will join us at 5:15. All-time University of Toledo Rocket, great quarterback, along with Chuck Ely. Those two probably at the top of the list. Gene Swick might have been another guy. They've had some good ones go through there. Of course, Logan Woodside as we speak, everybody. Rockets Northern Illinois coming up on Thursday. We'll preview it all tomorrow. Brought to you by Ferdo's Restaurant and the University of Toledo Bookstore. My name's Mike Miller from the showroom at the Monroe Superstore. This show driven by the Low Payment King. Good night, everybody.